Hello and welcome back to the sixth episode of the Chattanooga Look For podcast. My name is Sean Schuster. I am your host. And this episode, we're going to talk to Lori Bell of the Chattanooga Mobile Market. We talk quite a bit about the accessibility of food and how the mobile market is essentially made to bridge that gap between the food deserts that you'll find in low income areas, where maybe big grocery store chains have pulled out, or the local corner store is not exactly what it used to be. It doesn't exactly sell produce anymore. It's pretty much candy and cigarettes and Hostess cupcakes and things like that. So I mean, the Chattanooga Mobile Market is made to kind of bring the healthy food to that community, and I think that's very important. So Lori and I will talk about that a little bit later. First, I wanted to, as promised, discuss the panel with Will Allen that happened last week. Now, I didn't get to go to his talk itself, but I did go to a panel held at Gaining Ground later. I think I mentioned that on last episode. But it was still pretty insightful, because it was talking a lot about kind of a wrap up of what his talk was about. But also there were other panelists there. And the main topic was, of course, accessibility of food. You know, we could sit here and talk about the healthy food all day, and we could talk about organic and all of this and selling at a farmer's market and buying at a farmer's market. But there's a definitive gap between providing this food for people who can drive to the farmer's market and buy this food, and between the people who can't really get out and do this, whether they have two jobs, or they don't have a vehicle, they don't have the means to get a vehicle and insurance and all that, or they're just some other reason. I mean, maybe they're disabled, or for some other reason they can't really go out and do this, even though they want to. They want to get that healthy food. So much of this panel was discussing this problem and how it can be solved. And I think there were some great questions. It was more like a Q&A. People from the audience were asking, Will's interpretation of different views and his thoughts on things here and there. And I think that, one of the big things was just that, that he recognizes this fact that you just need to have accessibility to food for everyone, because obesity is a huge, huge problem. And when the income level is lower, obesity rates are higher. And it's not a coincidence. It's not anything other than the fact that the food isn't there. If you go in the low income neighborhoods, you'll find a lot of, fast food joints and liquor stores and cigarettes. And like I said, the local corner store has changed so much, and this is a big deal. There are a lot of activists out there trying to fix that. And right now we have, I think they said 30 community gardens in Chattanooga, which I think is a significant amount. And that's definitely a step in the right direction, and it's a positive step. It gives hope to solving this problem. But they mentioned the problem of maintaining these gardens. They can set them up, and there are, there's a board, a committee that sets these up, but then from there, where do you go? Someone has to be there to maintain it, and that's the problem. But luckily, there's actually, they mentioned on this panel that, I believe it was Tennessee, just recently passed a law saying that community gardens can sell produce now from their stands, from their garden itself. So it's not just a plot of land where people are growing tomatoes and corn. You can now set up a table and you can sell this stuff to the community. So when you're making these community gardens, say right in the middle of Chattanooga, say if there's a building got demolished and you have this little plot of land that previously was utilize 100% for gardening, now it can be used to actually sell the produce too. And I think that's a big step, because it helps the community, it helps the people who are working there, maintaining the garden. It also helps with the accessibility of food, which brings us back to the main point. So I think that this was certainly a wonderful event that really opened my eyes to a lot of this. I'm a farmer, and I sit here and I can, grow my food and sell it at farmers markets and sell it in the CSA all day long. But it kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, more needs to be done. It's not just about, the reason I'm doing this is to provide healthy food for people. I mean, that's why any of us do this. That's why any of us organic farmers do this. But it goes beyond that, and this is really an eye-opening thing. So this interview today with Lori Bell, we do actually discuss quite a bit about this, because the mobile market isn't just about being a healthy food truck, I guess, a glorified food truck. It's bringing this food to these neighborhoods. They sit there for 2.5 hours. I think she said there are 11 stops around Chattanooga, and they sit there and they sell this food to anyone who wants it, and we also discuss, which I think is very interesting, SNAP payments, which is basically what food stamps have turned into, the equivalent to food stamps. I believe they just renamed it and they kind of restructured it. But SNAP can buy vegetable plants, fruit plants, and seeds. And this is something else that Lori and I talk about, because that opens up a whole new avenue for sustainability. With that sustainability of having your own food to grow, your own plants to grow, you don't have to depend on running to the store every time you get hungry. If you can grow it in your back garden, there you have it. You can sustain yourself. I think that's very important. So here it is. This is the interview with Lori Bell from the Chattanooga Mobile Market. Enjoy. All right, we are back. And I am here with Lori Bell from the Chattanooga Mobile Market. How are you doing, Lori?
I'm good, Sean. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show today. We're really happy to have you on the show. And we're going to talk all about the Chattanooga Mobile Market. And I think the big thing I want to know, well, there's a lot I want to know about the mobile market. But starting off, what is the mobile market? What's its goal? And how did it get started?
Okay. I guess if I just put it in simple terms, we are basically a grocery store on wheels. We're kind of a response to a shortage of healthy food in a lot of our communities throughout Chattanooga. So we have 11 sites that we go to each week, and we'll set up for 2 hours at each site, which allows people in the community to come shop for fresh, healthy food. So we're really just, what we're doing is just, we're just responding to the needs of the community, and I think, we've seen a lot of communities who have been hurt with grocery stores that have pulled out of their neighborhoods, and they are wanting fresh, healthy food. So we're giving them the opportunity to have that without having to figure out how to get to a grocery store or transportation if that's an issue. So we're just here to provide a service to the community.
And this is what is often referred to as food deserts, right?
Absolutely, yes. What we consider, if it's not reasonable to be able to walk to the grocery store, is what we consider a food desert.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard quite a bit about this. Were you at the Will Allen talk last week?
I sure was, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, and he talked a lot about this, and I think that that's one of the reasons, why I think this is so important to get out there now. I think it's timely with his, visit to Chattanooga, but with the food deserts, what happens essentially is that, the people in that neighborhood can't, like you said, they can't get out, they may not have transportation, they may not have the opportunity to get out and go to, a big grocery store, which isn't even there anymore. I mean, a lot of the big chain stores have gotten out of those neighborhoods. And not only that, he also talked about the corner stores. There was someone in the audience that talked about, corner stores aren't what they used to be. They used to be where they had vegetables and they had fruit. Now it's all, candy and cigarettes and beer or things like that. And this is a big problem. It's a big problem, yeah. Because it's restricting the people in a certain geographical location. And that's just wrong. So, I mean, to bring the mobile market here to these food deserts, it allows these people to eat whatever, fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and things like that. So this is, where does this food come from to go into the truck to bring it there?
Well, right now, we do support as much local farmers as we can. Right now, it's harder at this point in the season. We've had one continual farm throughout the year who supplied us with greens. As a matter of fact, this morning I met with Michael Mayfield. He will be providing this food for the summer. I do shop at Linda's Produce. I think they do a great job with sourcing local and regional as much as they can. And, you know, through our local distributors in town, we also buy through them. But, you know, we're constantly just, for me, what I try to do is I try to find the best price that I can so we can offer it at a reasonable price so people can afford to buy the food. That's the other point we look at, you know, making sure that they can afford to buy the product. If it's out of reach, then they're still not going to buy it. So, you know, just kind of touch on something that you had talked about, and I see it a lot because in the neighborhoods where I go into, you know, at the corner store where they are getting things right now, or, you know, a pizza place across the way, if they can offer a pizza for $6, you know, it's really hard to convince people that they need to focus more on fresh, healthy food instead of opting out and getting the pizza. And last week, you know, to kind of top it off with Will Allen, and that was what a great opportunity to hear him speak and to meet him. You know, it's just ironic when you hear things that really make sense, but I caught a part of the Steve Harvey morning radio show, and they were doing a segment on health, and I forgot who was speaking, but she said that diabetes is on the rise in African-American neighborhoods. And before she could really go any further, Steve Harvey kind of chimed in and said, well, that's only part of the truth. The truth is, yeah, it's on the rise, but when you go into neighborhoods that don't have grocery stores, but they have fast food, they're just inundated with fast food, and corner stores that just are loaded with junk and stuff that's not good for you, that's the other half of the problem. And it's we definitely see that. And with food lines closing down, I really could see where it's really hurt and hit our neighborhoods really hard. And I think, too, just like they saw it more than just a grocery store. You know, they really viewed it as a kind of a community meeting place for each other. They talked about their cashiers by name, so they became friends with them. And so, you know, losing those kind of stores, it really hurts our communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a truck, right? Is it truck with a trailer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when the truck comes by, is it kind of that same camaraderie, you know, where they might know the drivers? And how does that work? Are there a couple people per truck? Or?
Right now, it's just myself and John. We're doing it, so the community have really gotten to know us. Mm-hmm. So it's just two of us at this point, and we definitely make it a point where each stop we might rotate stops, but you know, we're definitely becoming recognizable to them. I think, you know, both John and I have made friends throughout the community, so I hope that that's the way people are viewing us, and I think that they are. You know, we're always striving to figure out how we can make it more of a community thing, and we're getting ready to launch some cooking programs through the UT Extension Department. They're doing an 8-week program at Emma Wheeler and at College Hill. We are partnered up with the Creative Discovery Museum. They're going to do a cooking demo once a month at the Bethlehem Center. And we have some individuals through UTC and Chattanooga State who are coming to do cooking demos. So we're really trying to help build that. And, you know, for us, yes, we do sell groceries, but we also feel that we're there to educate, and we're kind of the bridge for that. So we've worked really hard to try to partner up, and, you know, doing cooking demos, giving free samples, free, you know, tasting demos, that's, you know, it's a good way to come out and kind of get to know more about what we do, but also not only tell them that they need to eat healthy, but show them how and help them. So I'm really excited about what's happening starting here in the spring.
Now, okay, so you do accept SNAP payments, right?
We do, yes.
Okay.
We accept everything.
Okay, good. Because I know that one thing I learned this year, I didn't even know this, but you can actually buy vegetable plants and fruit plants.
Yeah, and seeds.
And seeds, yeah. Yes. So, I mean, do you sell anything like that?
Well, you know, that's I just had a conversation this morning. You know, I went to the screening of Fresh, and I don't know if that's where you might have heard it at, but you know, I've gone through the training for the SNAP program. I didn't know that. So after the Tuesday screening, I spent all day Wednesday, Thursday, you know, everyone who was using the SNAP program, I asked them if they were aware of that. And No one, absolutely no one knew that. I didn't know that. And so I was excited to hear that. And so we were already working with Joel Tibbins and working on an educational piece that way through Fair Share and providing seeds and plants. And even if it's just to educate everyone so that they know that that's, you know, that's an option. I think that's the thing that kind of has bothered me the most is that they didn't even know that that was an option.
Mm-hmm.
And what a healthy option. You know, if you're going to spend, you know, if you just took out $10, you bought $10 worth of seeds or you bought $10 worth of plants, you're going to get more than $10 worth of food. And,
oh, yeah.
And so it's exciting to me because everyone was excited to find that out. And so, yeah, we will be providing seeds and plants.
Great. That's really good to hear. Yeah, it was the same way. When I first heard that, I thought, well, this is, you know, it takes some work, but that's very cost effective. And
yeah,
it seems like
and why don't we
option.
Know this?
Yeah, exactly. Why isn't that advertised more? Yeah.
Yeah, but, I worked in a grocery store for 7.5 years. I didn't know it then either. And so that to me, that's a really big missing piece of information that people who are on this program, that they need to know that. Because what I do find is that a lot of people are looking to be better. And it doesn't matter if they're going to spend $10 or they're going to spend $100. There's just a new awareness, a new consciousness about what we're putting into our bodies. And that right there should have been a good starting point, you know. And so I'm excited to let people know about the seeds and the plants and where this can go.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned before that you pick these foods up at a low cost to be able to resell it like this. Is that are there any subsidies or you just work with vendors to provide a cheap? How does that work?
We buy retail and we pay a regular cost right now when I have to shop out outside of some of the distributors. But I think a lot of my distributors have been really good to me. Once they know what we're doing, they've lowered some of the costs. And right now we're crossing our fingers and we're in talks with a local grocery store that is looking to sponsor us so we can buy wholesale.
Oh, nice.
Which will help us. We're so excited, and it'll help us be able to lower our prices even more. And we pick up bread from Need Loves, and John Sweet's just been really kind to us and to the market, and we're able to offer bread at a great price point. So we can hit an audience that normally wouldn't be able to get, Need Loves bread.
Wow. That sounds like I'll have to go to the mobile market and grab some of that. Sounds good. Now, how many stops did you say there are?
We have 11.
11. Are there any plans for more stops or even more trucks?
More stops, possibly. I'd like to say yes to more trucks. I think... we do have a larger vision for this program. We're really focused right now on making this one work. But we've talked about possibly more rural areas. We know this is a problem everywhere, so we'd like to see this become successful. And, who knows? Yeah, 2 or 3 trucks, that would be great.
That was actually going to be my next question. I know that, the rural poor, I look on this list of sites here and I didn't see anything out there, but so that is kind of a possibility in the distant future.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we would like to really see, I'd like for corner stores to see that, we can sell better foods. We can sell fresh food. People will buy this. And then if they offer that, then we could take our services somewhere else. And, we know that there's a larger need than the 11 stops that we're at right now. It's just, we want to make this one successful and then see where we can take this. So we're constantly working on what we can do in the future.
So explain to me a little bit about how this works. You stop at these locations. Do you have anything set up to let people know that you will be at that stop, or you just kind of go there and how do you get the word out?
We do put posters. We have yard signs throughout the communities. Of course, social media is a really good way for us right now. It's a great tool. We've relied a lot of word of mouth as well. But we're partnering up with some programs that we're going to help us canvas neighborhoods just to really help saturate the neighborhoods with information. We're working on packets right now to get out there so people can learn a little bit more about what we do. And you know, I'm constantly trying to figure out how we can do more. And so the marketing piece is a focus right now for us. So we're really trying to, you know, let our customers also help us by the word of mouth. And I think our customers have done a great job. We've almost adopted ambassadors within each stop who, you know, I think once they realize really the importance of us being there, they've really kind of taken the lead on that. And we've relied a lot on our contacts in the neighborhoods to help us.
Cool. That sounds like a very good idea, especially the ambassador thing. Now, you also say on the site that you accept volunteers. How is that part of this? Like you say, the ambassadors, is that like a structured volunteer, or is that just someone that's there all the time?
Well, we'll take anything we can get, honestly. So it's maybe a loose structure. You know, right now for us, our biggest need is really getting the word out and to really get through to the neighborhoods. So that's kind of where we're pushing our volunteer help at. It's just helping us spread the word, you know. And if that's door-to-door, that's door-to-door, or, you know, helping us get these packets out there. Anything we can do, so these, you know, we're working hard to gain trust. And I think for me, you know, I think a lot of people start out with really good intentions in some of our harder-hit neighborhoods. And I think what I've seen, and it's kind of just, is that some programs kind of fizzle away. So we have to earn the trust that we're going to be there every week. When we say we're going to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're there at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, we're there every week at the same time. We've got, you know, park at the same place. And, you know, we just kind of come, you know, a part of that community. So they know that we're going to be there. So that, I think that's a big piece for us, is that we've just been working on earning the trust of the communities that we're going to show up, we're going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Now, if someone wanted to get involved and help out with the mobile market, what should they do?
They can just, you know, go onto our website. They can email us. You know, it's ChattanoogaMobileMarket.org. There's a place that you can contact us. There's phone numbers. Just reaching out to us, and we'll get back, and we can let people know how could be of great service to us.
Great. That sounds like definitely a plan. I'm going to put links to that in the show notes for today for this episode.
Great.
So people can click through and check it out. But, this sounds like such a great idea. And I know, when did the mobile market start? Didn't it start this year?
Last year.
It
rolled out in June. I think some of the problem, it just took us a little bit longer for the SNAP program to kick in. And, you know, where we thought it was going to be 2 weeks, ended up turning out to be months. And so we started accepting SNAP in October. And so that, you know, we've really seen a shift once the SNAP program was rolling out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I thank you for coming on the show. This has been a great conversation, and it's something that I definitely want to hear more, you know, later down the line and see how things are going. And like you said, you know, we talked about the possibilities of growing, and I think that would be wonderful, especially for this, you know, for Chattanooga. So, again, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Sean, and what a great opportunity, and, you know, what a great job that you're doing. I appreciate to have the Chattanooga Local Board. I hope that you're finding it well received. I think this is great to get all the information out to people.
All right. I hope you all enjoyed that interview. It was certainly a pleasure talking to Lori. And, we mentioned on there about having her back. I would love to have her back. We can do kind of a follow-up. And she even recommended some talking with people who use the mobile market, and that's certainly something I've planned on doing, you know, for the show itself, is, you know, talking to people who shop at farmers markets, people who use CSAs, things like that. So that is certainly something we can do sometime down the line. One event I wanted to mention before I go is this Chattanooga Sustainable Preparedness Expo, and this is going to be next Sunday, March 10th. This is quite a big deal because it's a sustainable expo that basically means that they're going to teach you how to be more sustainable. And this has a lot to do, this kind of goes beyond just local food. This is more about, you know, their soap making and backyard beekeeping and hand pumps and, you know, all these, they even talk about EMP preparedness, which is electromagnetic pulse. I mean, these are bombs that can wipe out all computers. And, you know, so it's a lot more about, more than just about food. It's also about kind of sustainability and you know, maintaining yourself in emergency preparedness and everything remotely attached to that. So that is, again, Sunday, March 10th. They say it's $7, and kids 12 and under are free. I will have a link to that to the expo page itself in the show notes for today, so you can check that out. And that will do it for this show. So if you want to email me, you can email show, S-H-O-W, at ChattanoogaLocalVore.com. You can also check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/ChattanoogaLocalVore. Also, we have a Twitter page, which is just ChattaLocalVore. And of course, check out the website where I have all of the show notes for each of these shows with links to what we talk about. And that is at ChattanoogaLocalVore.com. And the theme song for this episode is The Hip Disintegrated by Land Camera, another Chattanooga band. And I will have a link to their website on the show notes for this episode, so you can check out more of their music if you're interested. And that'll about do it for this episode. So I thank you again for listening. Until next time, this is Sean Schuster signing off.